Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a great day. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Thanks to Mark Raimondi for stopping by in the 2 o'clock hour talking about our Falcons. And Mike asked the question about the collaboration. I think. I think when Arthur Smith got here, and this is what we forget, we had an offensive problem. Not only did we have a quarterback issue, but the offense was inept. And we forget that, you know, the whole Julio thing, it played out, and you're like, okay, how are we going to reload? What are we going to do? And so when it comes to a guy like Kyle Pitts, and I've said this to Mike, it gets back to Jeff Ulbrich now. When you say, hey, I need an edge, I need a linebacker, whatever it's going to be, these are the guys I like. The general manager has to go out and get those guys. I think that's what happened with Arthur Smith. And I also think, Mike, his plan for the offense obviously is not the plan for what is happening now. So you're almost stuck with some guys, not Drake, because Drake was fine. But the Kyle Pitts thing, Arthur was more about tight end usage and trying to create, and he, with the run game and, you know, seemingly putting that together. And this is a different plan. This is a different offense. So I only say that because people are like, well, why was he an All-Pro his first year? One, he played with Matt Ryan. Two, I think the coach that drafted him had a plan. Then he got hurt. And then he got hurt again.
And then the quarterback play again. You had Mariota who couldn't hit anybody. And then you had Desmond Ridder who was slightly, well, the same.
Correct.
I mean, Mariota was actually better statistically. So you had two bad quarterbacks.
So let me finish this. But I think part of it is when you're drafting for a specific thing, that's what happened with Arthur Smith, and that's why I've said to Mike, I think he was the guy that said, hey, let's draft these guys, and Terry said, great, because he had a plan for it. Then it didn't go the way we suspected it would. It has to be that way. You can't tell Jeff Ulbrich, make our defense better, but yet not take his input on who he wants
well,
to get.
I mean, and then you get into like, you know, the thing with Ulbrich, and we talked about it, where I always put it on Jim Mora, you know, communicating with Dimitra, but Ulbrich apparently, and his 2 cents were attack McKinley. Because again, I'm told now in this press conference it doesn't matter if you're 3-4-4-3. Well, it didn't matter. It certainly mattered that Tack McKinley was a better fit than T.J. Watt. That's part of this regime, guys. Although it's removed from, you know, one general manager, but Jeff Ulbrich was part of that collaboration with Dimitroff. So, no, I didn't mean to cut you off on that. I'm just saying that when you get back to Pitts, I'm just saying if you're the general manager, I get it. You want it. You have a new collaboration. You got a new partnership with Arthur Smith. You had a million holes. I think you override him and say, we'll go with the safe pick here because there's no – we'll go with the offensive tackle. We'll go with Penei Sewell. And then that's in hindsight, that's certainly the better pick. Now, in Arthur's defense, and part of the reason I think Pitts did so well is halfway through the season, if you guys don't remember, we had a wide receiver completely flake out. Okay, Calvin Ridley just left the team, which then created more opportunities for Pitts. Then subsequently we used to argue with Arthur Smith all the time about, well, if Pitts can't block, why are you asking him to block? Then the crazy play where he's not even involved and you got a backup tight end throwing to a backup tight end. Remember that?
Yeah.
So it just, I mean, again, if past is prologue, we're screwed. Hopefully they've learned from their mistakes And that's why I'd love to know, how does this work? Because remember, guys, when Rich McKay was officially still involved with the team, if there was a personnel squabble, he would decide between the coach and the GM back in the day.
Yeah, I think that is part of this, as you go back and say, why did we get this guy? Why did we get that guy? It's the same reason. And when there's a coaching change and a staff change, sometimes the production of a player changes because the usage changes. They asked Kyle Pitts to do some things this year that they weren't asking him to do in the previous regime. So, and I'm using him as an example because I think he's the biggest example that we could say, well, who did this? Why did you draft this guy? Because the coach wanted that guy, yeah, and he thought he could use him in a certain way.
And look, you and I, we've spent, you know, arguably weeks on Kyle Pitts over the last couple of years. Is he at a point now where he's just frustrated because he's gone from one situation to another situation and he just feels like, man, they're not using me the way I should? We talked about how the routes and where Drake London is doing what Puka Nacua would do in the Rams offense, which certainly Zach Robinson brought over from the Rams. I don't know. I mean, at some point, you do the best you can. I think we've all been. I'll even play devil's advocate and be in Pitt's corner for a second.
Okay.
When you're feeling you're not being used properly, you know, there is a tendency. It's human nature that maybe, you know, yeah, maybe it is not 100%. You know, maybe you're not given the best. That stupid phrase we heard so many times last year is being the best Kyle Pitts he can be. Mm. You know, I don't know. I mean, all I know is if they decide to move on from him after this year, we never got to see. And yes, I don't know. I can't guarantee. If we had people, typical Falcon fans, we'll go somewhere else and be great. Well, not if he doesn't put the work in, right? Not if he doesn't put the work in.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
But I mean, there are some things that, you know, you just said it. He went from one situation. If he was wanted by Arthur Smith, then Arthur Smith probably didn't use him the right way ultimately. And then I don't think we used him the right way last year. Combined with what then maybe became a lack of effort, which translated that all of a sudden he wasn't even starting. He was coming off the bench at times last year down the stretch.
I had a guy say to me the other night, do you know if Kyle Pitts wants to be here? And I said, why are you saying that? And he said, well, everybody and you and Mike always talk about what he's not doing.
You know, also, I just work here.
We know. Do you know if Kyle Pitts wants to be here? It doesn't matter if he wants to be here. You know how you go somewhere else and make bread in the NFL? You perform where you're at. You don't get to make the bread that you want to make, Mike, by not performing where you're at and going somewhere else and thinking you're going to demand a huge deal. That's not how the NFL works. So even if he doesn't want to be here, there have been plenty of guys in the National Football League who haven't wanted to be where they're at. But guess what? They worked their asses off to make the bread that they want to make because they knew they were going to be somewhere else. That's not how you approach this. That is a quitter's mentality,
right?
If, in fact, that is what he has done, I'm going to check out because, well, I don't want to be here. Well, guess what? You're not going to get to where you want to be.
Right. And the problem is, and this always comes up because guys say, well, man, you know, it wasn't his fault. Yeah, I mean, I get it. There's expectations. When you're a top five pick, and if you don't expect that or understand that, then I think you're in the wrong business. Because at the very least, this year, and again, we talked about Ebiketti, this is in essence a contract year somewhere for Kyle Pitts.
Yes.
So we'll see. Hopefully he gets it. I know some guys have said, will they move on from him? Look, some guys are victims of circumstance. Jerome Bettis was really good with the Rams. He was better with the Steelers. Marshawn Lynch was good with the Bills. He was better with Seattle. Because, you know, right tool, right job, right offensive coordinator, right scheme. Maximizing the talent. You know, same thing, Chris Carter. Remember, was it Buddy Ryan? Oh, Chris Carter, hell, all he does is catch touchdowns. You know, goes to Minnesota, Hall of Famer. So sometimes you have to be in the right spot. But I'm still, to your point earlier, we're not giving Pitts an excuse. If the effort, which maybe we'll have that conversation this summer, we get a chance to sit down with him.
Yeah. I think when we start talking about, you know, revisionist history and how do we get this guy and how do we get this guy, there's a reason why the guys get drafted. And it's usually the head coach. It usually is. That's what happens. And right. So because there's a vision. And especially when your head coach is your OC. There's a vision.
Right.
And so that's where we're at. Nevertheless, I'm just saying, Mike, he was asking, you know, Mark Ramondi about this collaborative thing. Yeah, I want to hear what Ra has to say about these defensive guys. I want to hear what the GM and the scouting department has to say. But guess what? Jeff is going to have to coach these guys. And if you don't give him full autonomy to say, that's who I think we should go get, even if it's a mistake, then we got to live with it.
Now, again, apples to oranges, but just bear with me on this one. The other thing that drives me crazy about the collaborative thing is, when something goes wrong, nobody owns it in this franchise, right? We still don't know who wanted Kyle Pitts, right? We just assume it was Arthur, right? You and I have always been of the opinion it's Arthur.
I said it's Arthur, yes. Right. I think it was Arthur. Because here's the thing, Mike, and this is the other part. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.
I'm actually cool if Fondo says, okay, the coach wanted him. I'll accept that.
But here's the other part. Did we not think up until recently that Fontenot really wasn't in charge of doing a whole lot of this stuff? I'm asking. So now you're telling me when Arthur Smith got hired that he was in full command right. of all. I'm not buying that.
See, then you get into.
I'm buying that.
So let's bring up, again, different regime, different defensive coordinator, so we can't really get into. But who wanted, Anderson at linebacker?
Good question.
Who thought that was the be-all, end-all?
Well, again.
Because we went through defensive coordinators like socks there for a while. We had Dean Pease and Ryan Nielsen.
We did. And, Pease comes in with a plethora of experience. And maybe, Mike, that's the general manager's part. Because, again, he's a defensive guy. For those who don't know, I mean, that's what Terry did. And pro scouting, I think you could say, all right, there was a mixture on some of these defensive picks. But I'm telling you right now, this is my 200. I'm 200% in on this. An offensive head coach who's going to run the offense, drafted who? Drake. He drafted Pitts.
Right.
He drafted Bijan. There's a reason for that.
Now, you could have argued what he came from in Tennessee was requiring more of a Penei Sewell. You had a great physical offensive line that dominated people. You had a great running back in Derrick Henry. Arthur Smith, by the way, got no traction. I mean, not that he would after this year in Pittsburgh and as being a coach again. Real quick, Now, where's that come from? Is that because if the coach feels that reminds him of the kind of talent he was involved in drafting in the Rams, okay, and then this year just unfortunately he got hurt at the wrong time that he could have had more of an impact. That's another one. But the one that ultimately gets to me and drives me nuts is Deshaun Watson, which then cost us Matt Ryan, whatever Matt Ryan was going to be, and nobody ever owns that one.
Well, here's the thing.
Is that Arthur? Because, look, I get it. If the general manager was leaned out by the owner, he's not going to say, well, the owner made me do it, because then he looks like he gets fired eventually.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. But just to me, it's a gang that can't shoot straight. That's what I feel. When we talk about collaboration, it feels like a committee that's a circular fire drill.
I'm not, Mike, I can't judge Rook on 1 year and where he was drafted. Again, it's where you're drafted and what you do in the league. I can't judge. I can't draft Dorless, any of the Trice, any of these guys.
Right.
And whether you were injured or not or how much you played, I can't sit here after one season and judge these guys. I'm willing to give them a couple more years to say, okay, that dude turned out to be who we thought he was. But the problem again, Mike, is do we have enough guys around the guys that you think are really good to make this defense better? And my guess again, I'm going to say this. Defensive-minded coach. He's a Super Bowl-winning DC. He comes in. You don't think he had any say-so in the defensive picks that we got? Of course he did. 404-726-0929. That is the number, guys. Of course, NFL Blitz is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com.
Cowboys, you mentioned Matt Eberflus. They're going to hire him as the DC. So, again, you think of him only as a really bad Bears coach. It was probably not the right fit, especially. And the Bears should have just moved on from him when they brought in a number one overall quarterback. They should have then hired an offensive coach and shown Eberflus the door, fair or unfair. But Eberflus, I presume, was good enough to get hired as a defensive coach back in the day. He's back doing that. Liam Cohen says, when it comes to leaving the Bucs, it was all business. All right.
I don't believe him.
And we played the audio yesterday. He was getting 1,000 memes about just the weak version of Duval.
Yeah. We ran out of time here. We'll play it later. But he said, because he was asking, it's a good question. Did the firing of the general manager change your mind on this? Like, everybody thinks and pretty much knows that's what happened. And he answered it yesterday in his presser. We'll play that for you coming up in a little bit here on the show. Also, man, yeah, man, no man's on the way, as we'll find out what Chris is talking about today. We're just talking about all these things, guys. This is stuff, again, now that we're to the offseason, you got to put all this stuff on the table. And some of this stuff, again, for those of you who are tuning in and you're saying, well, wait a minute, this stuff happened, Dukes and Bell. Yes. But does that mean, and does it set the precedent for how we move forward? That's why we're bringing this stuff up.
This is how we've operated under this general manager. Now, again, I mean, you can't compare what Dimitrov did, but you did have a guy that was involved in a draft decision who's now your defensive coordinator. And that's why some folks were like me were nonplussed when Jeff Ulbrich came in. I like the accountability thing that there's going to be a no BS filter with the coach. I hope that translates to the personnel we're bringing in because we don't have enough impact players on this roster right now.
All right, coming up, we got more to get to. Speaking of Jeff Ulbrich, we'll let you hear more of what he had to say as he hopes to unlock, quote, the superpowers of the Falcons' top defensive players. We'll talk about it next. We invite you to follow us on social media. We'll interact if you're not a jerk. Mike Bell, ATL.
Be cool. Be cool.
I am at Put 'em Up, C Dukes, and I'm making fun. Listen, I don't care if you are. I just mute you.
I mean, again, I block you, I mute you. I mean, this isn't like, Twitter isn't real, the X. It's not. You know, I mean, if you name call, foom, you're blocked. You know, you act stupid. You come like a chump.
Yeah.
You get sent out like a...
It's not. You're absolutely
not
right.
Not going to lose. That's why people get, you know... I mean, I get it. For younger people, it's different with social media. But, I mean, as a grown man, I'm not going to get, you know, bullied or whatever. I'm just out. You sound like a nitwit. You're out. Now you've lost the privilege. Carl, you've lost the privilege.
You've lost the privilege. Hey, want to remind you guys to come hang out with 92.9 The Game, Andy Bunker, and Michelob Ultra for an Atlanta Hawks watch party as they take on the Pacers Saturday. That's February 1st, 4:30 at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna. Hang out with the Hawks dancers and flight crew. Enter to win a gift card to the Hawks shop and other prizes. And the first 100 fans will get a free Michelob Ultra. I like Michelob Ultra. Guys, that is Saturday, February 1st at 4:30 at McCray's Tavern, Smyrna, sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Must be 21 years or older, and please drink responsibly. For more info, visit hawks.com/bar network. All right. As we've been discussing this, and I mentioned the social media, follow us, because some guys are going in, things will never change. Look, you got to give everybody a chance to do whatever it is that they do. If they fail, then you change. But we cannot continue to say, and I get it, Mike, I understand, I feel it, I live it. But this whole thing, like, nothing's ever going to change. Well, you know what? Then just stay the course and let's just keep doing what we're doing. They've changed coaches. They've tried to change general managers. Mm-hmm. They've tried to change head coaches. We got to give these guys a shot. I don't like what happened this year. I get it. But what are you going to do until you see this new plan implemented, Mike, and it's in place, and then we go from there? And if it doesn't work, guess what? You change again.
Yeah, it's just the debate we get into because of, you know, the phrase. And it's funny because collaborative effort. It's just we've heard that going all the way back to DQ.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen.
Yes, exactly.
You know, in 16, you know, again, I don't have to remind you, we know it, we get it, and we win the Super Bowl, and, you know, we can, it changes everything, but we didn't, you know, and so here we are again. And so there's an inherent lack of faith in the fan base in the process because of the history. And it's funny because I know you're calling shenanigans on it. I'm going to stick to it. I had one of my buddies at the gym say the same thing as Mike. Come August, you're going to be happy and psyched up and fired up.
I am calling shenanigans because you are at a frustration rate right now that we've never seen.
No, I am not. I don't care what we see at camp. We'll be at Hooters or wherever we're going to be. And you're going to go, what'd you think today? I go, eh. You go, what about so-and-so? Like, yeah, look, okay. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Have to wait. So that's because in the past.
All right.
No, in the past, I have led, and I feel, and I'm going to take this one right real quick out there, put it out there. I feel like I have contributed to the Falcon fans being let down because I may have overhyped it every friggin' summer since I got here in 1998, you know? So I'm going to maybe just bring it back. Pare it down a little bit as far as my – when you ask me, what about, you know, so-and-so from – you know, it looks okay. You know, I mean, they're only in helmets and, you know, shorts. I don't know. So I'm going to – now, Chris, your job will be to hold me to that and Oren because this year I'm slow – you know what my nick is going to be? Mike Slow Roll Bell.
All right.
Okay? It's not going to be – I'm not going to be Falcon Hype Man Bell that I've been the last couple, you know, decades with this team.
I don't believe it.
I don't feel it right now. I'm not feeling good about this team. I feel good about the offense, but I feel bad about more things than I feel good about. How about that?
It's fair.
Keeping it real.
No, it's fair. I don't believe it. It's fair that you should feel that way. But I have to remind you, okay? I have to remind you that when we signed Kirk Cousins, we were all excited.
Yes.
Because we felt like it gave us the best chance to win this year. We all got on the bus. Everybody, give me a ticket. Okay, you're on. Go take your seat. Everybody was on the bus. And then it went bad. It's nobody's fault. It's not our fault. It's not your fault. But it went bad. That leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Okay? We're 6-3. We know we should have been in the playoffs. We know we should have hosted a home game. But, Mike, I have a hard time believing you telling me that, hold on, what is this? January, February, March, April, May, June, July, that you are somehow not going to be excited to see what this team potentially is going to look like. I do have a hard time seeing that.
Because here's what's going to happen. I'll do all my dopey mock drafts. All the guys I want will not go to this team.
They won't take them.
You know, and then... the only time that I did mock somebody that we did take was Richie Grant and Jalen Mayfield. How'd that work out? So, you know, I did draft Nick Benito. That's why that's always in my noggin about, you know, why we went the other way with Anderson. I think, like, speaking to a lot of Falcon fans, you feel that there's some really good things on the offense. And, yes, that's however we got there, we've got those pieces. But then we still have to deal with a cap hit. And then you could plug in. I know that, you know, free agency isn't always the answer. And just because teams have got, Carl, the biggest, gigantic – we've seen this.
Budget.
How many years have the Jets and every team's had huge free agent money? It didn't mean anything. It didn't win anything.
No.
So it's got to be the balance. You've got to draft. Everything in the NFL is tied to how you draft. And then you augment that with the right free agent. So I just don't trust this regime right now to do it defensively. Brother – I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. Well, part of this is as the plan starts to play out, and we won't know that until we get a sense of what they're potentially trying to do defensively. And that may be a while. So, you know, again, you're going to hear a lot of names, as you do every year. I always tell Mike, everybody gets caught up. There's too many people to talk to and too much stuff that's going to happen between now and the draft for me to tell you right now, this is the guy. But the mock drafts, great. They get you familiar with everybody.
Right.
Terrific. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that's who the Falcons are going to go with because you were on some list and it said, hey, this is who the Falcons should take.
Right.
But within the range, and we talked about this the other day, if there is a Georgia player in the range in which we're drafting and he can play.
Can he play?
Right. Then you should be looking at him. You should be evaluating how he might fit on our team.
Right.
But this whole notion like there's some guy that, you know, oh, I saw this kid and – man, you can do all those lists all you want. I tell Mike every year, those lists my list never looks like the draft list at the end of the day. The first or second or third overall pick, maybe.
Right.
Maybe slightly different. Once you get past, like last year, who had at 8 Michael Penix on their draft sheet?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody, including other NFL general managers. Real quick, bunch of guys calling shenanigans, Carl, on Twitter. Follow us. Carl is put him up.
See, on Dukes. You? On you?
Of course. I mean, they're saying they've heard me go down this road and get all excited.
I don't believe it.
And follow me on Mike Bell ATL. Brad Spark says, Mike, I have zero capital letters faith in you. Not going to be the shotgun of the hype train. We know that Fricky drives the bus, but he says, I'll be right in there on shotgun.
He does. Fricky does drive the bus. We're going to go undefeated.
One of my favorite tags on Twitter, Creflo Nickel. He goes, Dukes, so I guess Mike won't rise up next season. He'll hashtag settle down.
Oh, Kool-Aid boy. What are you talking about?
Yes, I'm going to be settled down, slow roll, yeah. Mike Bell.
I don't buy it. And yes, Freaky does drive the bus. You're right. I mean, every
I will
year.
Be doubting Thomas Mike Bell.
Every
doubting
year.
Mike.
But here's the thing. You yep. do exactly what you're going trust me on this. You do exactly what you're going to do this year. You're frustrated because we didn't get to the playoffs. We've been frustrated. We've been mad about this.
Right.
And then we're gonna do all the research. We're going to do all the talking to who we need to talk to. And all of a sudden, we're going to get excited. And then once they get back on the field, you should be too. Because, by the way, if you're not excited, I got to tell you this. And this is why I don't believe Mike. If you're not excited about Michael Penix, bro, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I'm excited about him. I like him.
Oh, goodness.
But, Carl, I'm going to temper my enthusiasm.
That's how you're going to approach this?
Yeah, I'm going to temper it, yeah. You know, you asked me today, man, ball hit the ground today. Yeah, nobody playing against there in practice. No, man, because maybe this works. Maybe this reverse psychology will actually pay dividends as opposed to let's just rewind. Now, 2 years ago, I did tell you Mariota was crap and he was going to be crap.
I wasn't at all. You wanted to bench him week one. He hadn't even played yet.
I knew he was going to be garbage and he was garbage. Now, last year, you and I both, but me maybe more than you, I said, look, I want to believe, and just because you hope to believe, it didn't pan out. But I thought, and how many times did we say the same thing we said earlier? Russell Wilson at 3 for Seattle. If you get this guy and you're only paying him $800,000, man, you got unlimited potential and he's your guy. And unfortunately, then the coach turns around and doesn't even freaking play him in the preseason, but one series.
Yep.
That one drove me crazy, but I was hyped about Ritter. But I also, you know me, you said it, bro. After that London game, I was nope.
It's a bad game.
I was out. I've had my heart broken so many times. I'm falling to the dark side. I'm falling to the dark side of Falcon fans that are glass half empty.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of them.
But I won't be alone.
But I got to tell you, and you know, that's a miserable way to live your life. Straight up.
I know.
It just is.
But again,
I'm going to tell you, if that is how you want to live, you're sitting here, yeah, I don't believe it. I'll never believe it. I'm never going to have anything and my life sucks. Then good for you. That's how you want to live your life. That's not how I'm going to live my life. My team better get better. The coaching's got to get better. Mm. Guys have to show up. We've got to do the things that we see these other organizations doing that get you over the hump. I have to believe, Mike, with the investment that I have, that it's going to happen. And I'm not going to wake up every day and go, we ain't going to do crap because we ain't never done crap. Good for you. You live a horrible, miserable life.
It's about the defense. You know, the offense, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm excited about it. I think we got some great pieces.
You don't sound excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. I like it. We got a good offensive line. I like Penix. But the defense, rubber hits the road. We got the crappiest defense, second worst defense in the league, year after year after year. I'm just like, prove it. You know what, bro? How about this? Prove it. Maybe there'll be room for a modicum of enthusiasm on my part after the draft.
I don't believe it.
Warren, Chris, you buying this?
I don't believe it.
Nope, shaking heads.
Hey, man, coming up.
Mike is Missouri. He's the show me.
Thank you. Yes. Mike Missouri Bell, show me card.
How many monikers are you going to have?
No. The first time Braylon Trice comes out there and sacks the opposing quarterback wearing the red shirt, Mike's going to lose his mind.
No, you're right.
Look at that guy. Yeah. He's built for it.
I want you guys to remember what he's saying right now. I want you to remember this.
I was the one-man hype train for Braylon Trice. I loved it. And, of course, we have D-Lan. Nah, Mike, he ain't nothing special. He's just a guy.
I think he's good. I think he's going to be good.
I hope so. And by the way, Chuck, we can't tell you what Chuck – it rhymes with Braylon Trice, but there was a certain guy we know that thought, yeah, he's pretty good coming out of college.
Yeah. All right, man. We got Yeah Man, No Man on the way. It is Dukes and Bell. Again, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. All right. I'm here with the not-so-happy Mike Bell about what the Falcons are going to be moving forward.
I don't know. Missouri Mike Bell.
We will talk more about what's going on around college football coming up here in about 20 minutes. Also, we will dive back into a couple of these coaching hires because, as Mike mentioned, Liam Cohen had some things that he said at his presser, and I want you to hear a couple of these things, and more with Jeff Olbrich as well. Brick talking about what he wants to do with this team as far as the defense is concerned. It's all on the way, but right now let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on today, my man?
Well, he got Wally pipped, boys, and he doesn't like it.
Uh-oh.
Greg Olsen, in something rarely done by media members or athletes, is being honest. He was talking with our buddy Joe Person, doing a story for The Athletic. Quote, "It's hard to sit there and watch games that over the past couple of years I prepared for and that I called." He says he has no ill will towards any of the actual broadcasters, Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady, Aaron Andrews, etc. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he is not dealing well. It's not sitting well with Greg Olsen to no longer be the number one guy on Fox. Yeah, man, no man. Do you like this type of honesty from Greg? Or should he have kept that little bit of information to himself?
I'm sure some Fox executives might feel a certain way about it, but I think he's just kind of echoing what a lot of folks like us have said. I mean, he's just better at what he's better at it than Tom Brady. Tom Brady's making, you know, a gazillion, what, $350 million over 10 years, and Greg Olsen's just better at it. He's had a head start, but Tom Brady got incrementally better, Carl, but I still wouldn't consider Tom Brady even as good as a third or fourth guy on NBC or Fox.
I commend him for being honest. And by the way, what you going to do about it? They're going to fire him? Good luck, because right. One of the other networks right now is waiting by the phone. I think, Greg, and here's the thing. You wanted to be nice about it because, again, you don't have any ill will towards Tom. The network made this decision. But he's right. Mike's right. He's better. Right now, he's better. And to say, hey, yeah, it's a little frustrating. I'm glad he said it. But also, if you feel that way, Turtle, go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. Mm. Mike, tell your agent. We're going somewhere else.
I mean, look, I'd love to have Al Michaels with Greg Olsen on anybody but Herb Street. But, you know, get him over there to Amazon. You know, but again, the thing is, when you start to talk about it, there's only so many landing spots. Yes, you do have those pop-ups for Netflix, but those are only two games. That's one or two games.
Yes.
But, you know, it still comes down to, like, Chris Collinsworth's not going anywhere. So then Tony Romo right now is not going anywhere. So you're kind of stuck. That's it.
I think ultimately at the end of the day, he will get another number one job, but it's like a deli counter line. Mm-hmm. You just got to wait your turn.
Yeah.
There's just none open right now.
Yeah, I don't want to wait my turn when I was the man. I was the man.
Yeah. And look, Brady, we said this the other day. There, I mean, it's not like we're just making this stuff up. People are noticing. Carl brought this up on Monday. You get from Romo their version of the tush push. It's actually going over the left guard, and where Kansas City totally saw what Buffalo was trying to do with Josh Allen. They was able to stop it.
Yep.
And he gets that from the access of the coaches and the practice and things that Tom Brady's. As we said, yeah, it's great to hear Tom Brady wax about the big picture, Carl. Everybody's got to be on the same team. No selfishness. Great. Thanks. Tremendous insight. Great teams have great players. Wonderful.
Hey, he's getting better.
Yeah.
He's getting better.
No, like he can diagnose. Certainly he can, because he's played at the highest level and he's a GOAT. But yeah, there's too much fluff with Brady for my liking. And everyone's like,
did you say fluff?
Fluff. I'm like, oh, it's the nonsense. You know, oh, well, you know, back in the day. Yeah, I got it, Tom. You know, like for instance, he goes, I think they made a giant mistake. Like, when he talked about the Giants not bringing Saquon Barkley back. I mean, I saw that like written up like, wow, Tom dropped a what do you want, a cookie? That's like even that's like so corny. My mom would say that.
A little fluff.
Yeah.
He also made a joke about the butt fumble that was on the same vein, and it just really didn't.
Yeah,
it really
it didn't go
land.
Over. It didn't go over. No, man. Look, I'm not mad at Greg Olsen, and I think he's really good, and I'm glad he said it. But here's the deal. You know, Mike said, you know, you can't go anyway. Sometimes you got to create it, man. Like, you got to push and create it. And maybe, you know, there are other people who are not speaking about this that think the same way we are right now. Maybe one of these executives, I don't know, at Disney, Mike, or, you know, whatever, ESPN, who knows? So I'm just saying, like, that's part of this, but I'm glad he said it.
It's good to have an NFL owner in your corner, but maybe not when he uses the following phraseology. Jerry Jones has obviously gotten all the highlights the last couple of days. He was crying on camera. His son was using air quotes about droughts for 30, the whole mess. But Mark Davis quietly stepped in it as well. Quote, John Gruden, he had a 10-year contract and all of that, and then his head was chopped off.
Oh.
And we were put in a really bad position as an organization. He then went on to stand up for Gruden, defending his character. Yeah, man, no, man. Do you want Mark Davis in your corner talking about having your head chopped off in light of bringing him back into the NFL fold?
I mean, you could have said that, you know, we didn't get the results we wanted from John, but there was then events that were beyond our control because the NFL, that was the Daniel Snyder investigation. And of course, they really found nothing.
Or right.
They didn't find anything they wanted to tell you about, so they had to come up with something. So they said, don't look at Snyder, look over there. John Gruden said some racist and homophobic things in an email that he thought was private, and that got him got. But yeah, well, Mark, again, I know you get mad at me when I say this all the time.
What's
but,
that?
You know, there's some guys who get in the family business and they improve on what their dad did. And then there's guys like Mark Davis. You're there. You're just there. You're Al Davis' son and you don't know anything.
I don't get mad about that.
I just don't want to make a broken record of it.
No,
you know,
I
mean, there's sometimes where, like, you get in the family business.
Nepotism.
Yeah, that means sometimes you really you improve on it. And you get an opportunity and you kick the door open and you show you belong. And other guys just kind of just take up space.
Yeah. But I don't get mad about it. I think in that particular business, because it's the ultimate boys club, we're talking about NFL ownership. In that particular business, it's more evident than any other. Like most of you, you don't know who the oil magnates are. You don't know who the outside of the big tech companies, like how inside the operation is. Sports is our connector. So, Mike, you pay more attention to this. So when the son is next in charge or the daughter, like Bud Adams' daughter in that situation where she takes over the Titans and the thing has been a mess. I mean, like, you're right. Either you're improving on what mom or dad or however you came about this business, which is in the NFL, it's usually, again, these big business owners, billionaires who come into these teams. But more times than not, they don't, Mike. They do not improve what their parents have done or their dad has put them in position to do.
Quick example, Wellington Mara was the Giants owner, and his dad, he built the thing going all the way back to the original franchise in the league. The Rooneys and the Maras are so tight, you know that. His older brother ran it, and then Wellington took over, and he ran it, basically made all the football decisions for almost like a decade and change, and realized, I'm not good at this.
I'm
and finally,
good.
He hired George Young, and they went to Super Bowls, and Jerry Jones has never gotten there.
That's right.
Now, granted, it took Mara 14 years to make that decision, but Jerry still doesn't know, and it's been 30 years since Jimmy left.
That's a great point, Mike.
All right. I'm mad about something. There's a trend going on in Hollywood that I don't like, and it's affecting a movie I'm really excited about. Carl, I think I saw you tweet about this, too.
Hmm.
The new movie Sinners,
ooh,
coming out with Michael B. Jordan, looks fantastic. I got one problem with it, though. I don't need him playing multiple roles. And this is becoming a trend in Hollywood. We saw it happen in big Martin Scorsese films. And I think it's something that's really to the detriment of film because it's usually not something that can be pulled off really well. And another trend, same actor playing an older version and a younger version of a character in a movie. A little less egregious in my opinion, but along the same lines. Yeah, man, no, man. Does that bother you as much as it bothers me?
Not me. And I got to put it, I had to see it in context of how they're asking him to play these characters. Because for those who don't know, this is a vampire movie, okay?
Mm-hmm. Trailer's amazing, by the way. Trailer totally sucks you in.
The director is the same director who did Black Panther.
And Ryan Coogler. He's on fire right now.
Well, he's done a bunch of stuff. Yeah. And he's here in Atlanta, by the way, for those who don't know. He's done amazing movies. But this new movie is about, it's a time set, timepiece, but it's about vampires. Anyways, I need to see how they're asking him because I don't know the context of that. What I've seen has gotten me excited about it. But like, if you're telling me he's playing this vampire and this is part of the character that he's playing, and then they're showing you another side of him and he's playing another, I'm okay with that. But you're talking about the same actor. Basically, and you're basically saying Hollywood's becoming cheap because they're trying to get the roles, like one guy to play two roles. I don't know. I'm telling you right now, I don't think Michael took a pay cut to do this. I have to see it in context, Colonel, before I get all crazy about it.
If he can pull it off, I'll give you some examples, okay? For guys of a certain generation, if you ever seen Dr. Strangelove, some of the jokes don't translate, but it's fantastic, and it's Kubrick at his best, and Peter Sellers playing multiple roles. He plays the president. He plays a British general. There's a lot of stuff going on. He plays the Dr. Strangelove as a German scientist, and he pulls it off because Peter Sellers was amazing. This one, we love Robert Downey, right? You and I, we all think Robert Downey Jr. is one of the great actors. Did you watch HBO's The Sympathizer at all? Anyway,
I did.
So, South Vietnamese intelligence officer comes to the States, and he's basically working for the communists. Robert Downey Jr. plays multiple roles. It was distracting. It was to Chris's point. It depends on how it's done.
Peter
Sellers pulled it off. This, I thought Robert Downey Jr. I got to the point like, stop. It's cartoonish. That's where it's, you know, just come on. Enough is enough. But that's where it'd be interesting if you can pull it off. Like, for instance, the new mob movie, De Niro's going to play both. Vito Genovese and Columbo, it's too much.
It's too much.
It's distracting. So I'm with Chris. But again, I got to see it first. Some guys can't.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this. Regardless, I'm still going to go see it as soon as it comes out. Looks really good. All right, one more quick one before we get out of here. There was a modicum, I'll use the word, of hope that Myles Garrett may become available. And maybe the Falcons could have potentially put in a bid. Again, 99% no.
What? Given our entire draft class to get Myles Garrett? I'm down with it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Two things, Carl. You get the greatest edge rusher, and it would keep our general manager from picking defensive players.
Well, look, if Myles Garrett becomes available, there will be multiple teams involved because he is one of the best, if not the best, at his position right now. And so, you know, are you asking me or Mike or us, like, would we want to get in on this?
There's a follow-up
to
the story.
Okay.
Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, was asked if he would turn down multiple first-round picks for Myles Garrett. He said, quote, correct, you can put it on the books. I want Myles Garrett to remain a Brown for life. Where have we heard that before? Right.
Julio will be a Falcon for life over my dead body.
Yeah, he needs...
What's that? Julio wants a raise after 3 years?
Oops. He needs a new contract, and the going rate is $34 million a year. That's what Nick Bosa is getting. Yeah, man, no man. Injuries included, because he has not been fully healthy for a little bit now. Are you making Myles Garrett the highest paid defensive player in the NFL to remain a Brown?
Wow. Woo. Tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Considering your team, unfortunately, through the quarterback situation being a turnstile, has never gone anywhere other than that playoff loss against the Texans a year ago.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do that, but because here's the issue.
Two more years on his deal, 25 and 26.
Here's the issue with that. Are we a game away from the Super Bowl? Are we two games away from the Super Bowl? We should have made the playoffs this year, and we didn't. My point is, if the team was a step away, I'd go all in. We still have too many things that we need to fix.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I want him. I would love to have a talent like that.
Right.
But, Turtle, you talk about that kind of investment when you're still not quite there. Buffalo Bills, they do it. Ravens would do it because they feel like they're right there on the cusp of getting there. I don't think we are quite yet. And that's not to say we might not be in the next year or so, but we're not. So I can't do it.
That's a lot. That's quarterback money.
It's huge.
Now you're starting to get into some territory if he's making 40 a year. And he wants that deal ripped up, and he wants a brand spanking new one. They were talking about this would be his third deal with the Browns. They already gave him one big money deal. Now he wants another one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're in position to do that.
But. Yeah, that's just tough. I mean, once you get on the wrong side of 30, I mean, that's why Aaron Donald kind of helped the Rams out by stepping away, and then they went and drafted some amazing players the last 2 years.
Let's go draft these guys.
Right.
Let's go draft these guys because there's the benefit of them growing with you, and I've been talking about this. Like this is the quintessential example. Guys, the Rams are not only one of the youngest defenses in the league, they're one of the cheapest. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because they've drafted all these guys. Fisk, right?
Right.
Kobe Young.
Yeah. Right.
All these guys. They drafted him.
Again, and those what we were trying to do in this draft, now we'll never know because unfortunately Dorlus didn't get on the field, Trice got hurt, and Aroro got hurt in the middle of the season and had to wait for him.
And maybe they turn into
that. Yeah, and that's the hope. And if that's part of the collaboration with our coach and and the GM, then okay. But just real quick, if we don't go down the stupid do the both quarterbacks, just do one. Trust and panics, and then you have money. And then remember everyone says, well, you couldn't get Danielle Hunter. Yeah, I get it. He was locked in Houston. You could have gotten Jonathan Greenard. 12 sacks this year for the Vikings. Think that would have helped our effort? Helped Epic Katie? Helped everything else? I mean, that's why this year was just, we were, in hindsight, we blew it by not addressing the defense in the offseason. That's where it's at. By doubling down on QB, whether that was the GM's decision ultimately or the owner's.
All right, mild-mannered Mike, hit my music.
Yeah, by the way, more guys on the text line, and they're not being polite. You know, Mike, you're full of S. You'll be a hyped-up guy come July 31st or whatever it is.
I don't believe it.
Well, not right now.
Coming up, hey, Gunnar Stockton knows the importance of getting more reps. Listen, there's already this notion out there that Stockton is going to be more locked in than the previous Georgia quarterback. Maybe he had too many distractions. Hot girlfriend, Lamborghini. I don't know, but we're going to talk about it next.